All right, I can tell Mr. Whitney's excited already, so he just loves that kind of food. Yeah, well, I hope many of us can be there on Thursday. So anytime during the day, basically, lunch through dinner. All right, thank you, Angela. Any other announcements this morning? Well, at the end of our service, I believe we're hearing again from our scholarship committee and from one of our families in the church, so we can expect that at the close of our service today. And let us worship, and we follow the order of worship as it is presented on the screen. It's page 151 in the hymnals, if you would rather follow there, and we begin with the opening hymn. Hold on a second. We have the wrong hymn here. I don't know. Let's see what's going on this morning. Come unto me, you weary. Now we're good. All right, let us sing. Come unto me. Of his grace, and it's through his love, his grace given, that we are honored and blessed to come as his children of faith, gathering in his name as we worship. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God inspired the Apostle John to write these words, and I quote, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in light of God's awesome promise, we take a moment in silence for personal reflection and confession. And let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? With my whole heart, I seek you.
Let me not wander from your commandments.
I have stored up your word in my heart,
that I might not sin against you.
Blessed are you, O Lord.
Teach me your statutes.
With my lips, I declare
all the just decrees of your mouth.
In the way of your testimonies, I delight.
As much as in all riches.
I will meditate on your precepts
and fix my eyes.
I delight in your statutes.
I will not forget your word.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord, God, Almighty God and Father, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Receive
the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One.
You alone.
Lord, you
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. O God, our Father, you wisely set in order all things in heaven and on earth for the benefit of your people. Grant that we trust in the saving work of our Savior and thereby enter into your Sabbath rest. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated now, and we'll continue with our scripture readings for today.
The Old Testament reading on this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is found in the book of Ecclesiastes. We begin at chapter 5 and verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4, and we begin at verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not unified by the faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
the Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May be seated, and at this time we would ask the children of the congregation to come forward as Mrs. Erickson has a special message for you.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. It's so good to see you guys here today in God's house. I'm so glad that you're here. So I had a question. Have any of you ever had a sock or something else that got a hole in it?
Yes.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, right? So one of my kids' socks had a hole in it. So, and you know, sometimes mornings can be kind of busy. So I didn't get a chance to fix it. So I thought I would do it here in children's sermon, if that's okay. I'll fix this. So I have my needle. You see my needle? I have some string. So I just need... I'm going to sew the sock up. Yeah, I'm going to sew the sock up so there's not that hole. My little stitches will keep the hole closed. But before I can do that, I need to get the string in here. And I'm having some trouble. Is there somebody that could help me maybe with this? Kate, can you help me? You just got to put the string in that little hole right there. Do you see it? It's kind of small. Do you see? There's a little hole. That's called the eye of the needle. Can you see it now? Okay. Can you put the string in it? Kate's got it. I know Kate can do this. Yeah, be careful. It's kind of small. We might lose it if we drop that needle. Yeah, it's kind of hard, huh?
I can do it.
You can do it? Okay. Keisha can do it. Okay. I'll help you. Let's see. I'll hold the needle. Can you put that string in it? Oh, man. We kind of got it. We kind of got a little bit of it. Thank you. Yeah, that's kind of hard, isn't it? I probably need a smaller string, don't I? That might help. But so this reminds me of something that Jesus was saying today that we just heard Pastor Greg read. So right before this, in the Bible, we had a young man come talk to Jesus. He had been following, he'd been listening, he wanted to talk to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, what should I do to get into heaven?" And Jesus knew everything about his heart, and he knew that this was a young man that had a lot of things, maybe a lot of money, a lot of possessions, a lot of stuff, a lot of toys. He had a lot. But Jesus said, "Okay, well, to get into heaven, you need to follow all the commandments, right?" And the young man said, "I've done all that. I follow every commandment. I've never broken a commandment." Do you guys know what some of those commandments are? Can you help refresh my memory? What are some that Jesus would have thought of? Not lying. What do you think, Addie?
Obeying your mom and dad.
Obey your mom and dad, yeah. Judah, any others? Listen to mom and dad, yeah. Keisha? Okay, listening to moms and dads, not taking things from other people if they're theirs, all those things that God's word tells us we should do. And the young man said, well, I've kept all those. I've never done any bad things like that. Now, do you think that was probably true or maybe not? Yeah, don't make fires. Yeah, that's good. Okay. But so Jesus, again, Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew that we all sin, and that rich young man had sinned. And Jesus said, okay, well, if you've done all that, then I need you to go give away everything you have, everything, and come follow me. Come with me and my disciples as we go, because Jesus wasn't living in a house. He was going around. Other people would let him stay with them, give him food, but he was traveling everywhere, and he told this young man, go give away everything you have and just come with me without all your things and stuff and toys. And do you think the young man was happy about that? Not really. He kind of went away going, that doesn't sound like a good idea, because he liked all his things, all his stuff. And Jesus then talked to his disciples. This is the part we read. He said, it's harder for a rich person to get into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, you guys saw this needle, and that hole, remember, is what we call the eye of the needle. It was hard to get the string in. Have you seen a camel? Maybe not up close, but maybe some of you up close at the zoo, but... Yeah. Yeah. Out of the desert, and they're here in Colorado, like at the zoo, or at somebody's farm, maybe. Oh, Heritage Days. Yes, so neat. Well, you can imagine. Do you think that camel could have gotten through this little hole? No. Now, was Jesus saying that there will be nobody who is rich in heaven? No. That's not what Jesus was saying. No, but there are some things that keep us from God because of the sin in our hearts that's holding on to things that would get in that way. So that's not to say, though, that we can't be thinking about that. We are so blessed to live in this country that is so prosperous, that all of us have so much stuff and clothes and warm houses, food, that we could be thinking about that. What could we share with somebody else? What could we give away to somebody else that might not have what we have? We could think about living with less so that we could think about God more. I bet you guys have some great ideas. Can you tell me during Sunday school, maybe? But so that's definitely something that we can think about. But, oh, you've seen a camel. Okay, so can we put hands down? That is definitely something we can think about. But we had an even bigger problem, because just like that rich young man, we don't keep all of God's commands. We don't listen to everything that God tells us to do. And that's a pretty big problem, huh? But Jesus loved us so much that what, Judah? You rode on a camel? Yeah. What did Jesus do because he loved us so much? Yeah. We have it right there to remind us. He died on the cross for us. He lived a life that he did not do any sins. He did everything God wanted him to do, and he died on the cross for us, and our sins are washed away, and he rose again so that we can go to heaven, be with him someday. Yes, I bet it was a lot of fun. But this, Jesus says, with God, nothing is impossible. Us ourselves, with our sin, it's impossible for us to go to heaven too, because we sin too. We have things that are keeping us from God. But with Jesus, what Jesus died on the cross, that impossible can happen. Us turning from sinners, from God's enemies, into his children. That's something really cool to think about, and that you guys can listen to the sermon here in a couple minutes and be thinking about that, how amazing that is, that God could do the impossible like that to turn us into his children. I'm so glad you guys came up here today. Can you fold your hands and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us and loving us so much. Jesus, our Savior, thank you for dying on the cross for us and forgiving all of our sins. We're sorry when we let things come between our relationship with you. In come between our relationship with you. Holy Spirit, please fill our hearts that we would share your love and tell everybody all about you. We love you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, thank you. You can come up and get a bag and go back with your parents.
One who is first, who for us made himself last, my dear friends in Christ. I'm here to share with you this morning some thoughts concerning our gospel lesson today, and our theme is entitled, You Can't Be Serious. And as some of you look into this pulpit, you're probably thinking he really can't be serious, but he is. There have been times in my life when I, and maybe perhaps some of you, have wish that we could have lived at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the idea of hearing the Savior preach, watching his miracles, and learning from his wisdom, that's very intriguing for me, and probably for some of you also. And so when I'm really feeling good about myself, I think that I might have been behaved a lot better than the disciples did. I think I wouldn't have been part of the arguments that, about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I think I wouldn't have stopped the little children from coming to Jesus and giving them the blessing. And I think I would have stayed awake in the Garden of Gethsemane. That I wouldn't have run away and left Jesus alone. And that I would have been at the foot of the cross. And when Resurrection Sunday came, I would have been there waiting for Jesus to walk out of that tomb. And I like to think of those things, but the truth is, those thoughts that I have are just a fantasy.
You can't be serious. Well, the reality is this. If I had been there, if Jesus had called me to be one of his 12 disciples, I would have been right there messing up just like the rest of the disciples were. That's because as I hear those words of Jesus and I see him heal and teaching and again I want to say, Lord, you can't be serious. But I might have challenged Jesus' words that were recorded in our gospel reading for today. For Jesus and his disciples are walking along when a rich man came running up and knelt before him and asked the question. And the Bible doesn't really give the name of that fellow, but I've come to believe he's the kind of guy that most of us as fathers would have loved to have our daughters date. You know, he was well off. He was young. He was respected. And he was respectful. And he was concerned and he was serious about the matters of faith. And the young man had asked Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? This is good and an important question. And then our Lord answers him, and he begins by listing some of the commandments. If you want to be saved, Jesus says, follow God's rules. You know them. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. And honor your father and your mother. Jesus never got to finish those because that young man blurted out, I know all those things. I'm pretty proud to say that since I was a little tyke, I've kept all those rules. And then Mark records that Jesus, upon hearing those man's remarks, looked at him and he loved him. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus pitied him. You see, this young man really believed that he had kept God's law, and maybe on the surface it looked like that. After all, he hadn't killed anyone, perhaps, or stolen anything, or even skipped church when the game was on. On the surface, he had been a very good young man. But it is our Lord Jesus who knows better than that. Jesus was smiling because knowing the man's heart, he could see that the man had failed miserably at keeping the spirit of the law, though he may have on the surface kept what we call the letter of the law. He may have not murdered, but he probably had hated someone in his lifetime. He hadn't committed adultery, but yet perhaps he had lusted. And so we get the idea. Now Jesus decided not to publicly embarrass that man by listing all of his sins and details concerning those. Instead, the Lord went on to list God's 10 commandments. And one of those commandments he had mentioned previously was the first and most important commandment. And that is that commandment which encompasses all the rest of these. You will have no other gods before me. Loving God, my dear friends, is the most important thing. And he goes on to tell that young ruler that also. And here's how I think the conversation went. Jesus said, "Well, my fine young man, that's great. I'm glad you've done all those things. And as far as I can see, there's only one more thing that you have to do. Give away everything that you've got and give it to the poor and come and follow me." And I have to believe that there was probably a very long pause of silence as those words of Jesus were deliberated by that young man. And although he doesn't say anything in reply to the Savior, I'm pretty sure he was probably thinking, "Come on, Jesus, you can't be serious." And the Bible tells us, though, that after a bit, that man left, and Jesus watched him go. The man left, but the question still remains. Was Jesus serious? The young man didn't think Jesus was playing a prank. The disciples didn't think Jesus was having fun at that young man's expense. And I don't think it either. If Jesus had been joking, he would have gone after the man who was walking away. Jesus would have called out, saying maybe something like this, "Hey, wait there, young man. Can't you take a joke? I was just kidding. How about you give away 40% of what you have? Or is that too much? How about 20% or 10%? We can work something out." But that didn't happen. And it was with great sadness that Jesus watched that young man walk away. He hadn't kept the commandments as perfectly as he had thought. He had failed to love the Lord more than anything else. And it was then that Jesus turned to his disciples after that young man had left, and he said, "It's hard for a rich man to enter God's kingdom. In fact, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle." At this point now, I'm going to stop with that story, and I'm going to talk to us now in this day and age. If we're like most people, we probably feel pretty good, pretty safe about what Jesus has said. Why? Because if we're most like most people, we're saying to ourselves, "Well, thank heaven I'm not as rich as that person was. Thank God that I'm broke, and I don't have much to get away." Making it through those pretty pearly gates. And if that's what we are thinking, I hope you won't mind if I take a moment to set some things straight for us this morning. You see, every one of us in this sanctuary this morning is incredibly wealthy. And here is why. Because when Jesus spoke those words, one of the richest men in the world was a guy by the name of Tiberius Julius Caesar Augustus. Tiberius was one of Rome's greatest generals who had risen to the position of emperor of the Roman Empire. So we're going to compare this guy's riches with what ours today. After all, he was a Roman emperor. First, we're going to take a look at our petty cash funds. With money flowing in from all over the Roman territories, it is Caesar who was pretty well off. If he wanted anything, he would just buy it. And when it comes to cash, when we compare his to ours, Caesar is the winner. He also had hands down when it comes to personal assistance. Caesar has slaves, he has servants who stood at the ready to do anything and everything that he could imagine. And in the area of power, the legions of Rome are at his disposal. And in the Praetorian Guard, he has some pretty impressive bodyguards. And so as you take a look at Caesar, you think, wow, he's pretty rich. He's a whole lot richer than we are. But I wouldn't jump to any early conclusions about that. In Rome, the summers get hot. They're very hot. And they're muggy. Kind of like Nebraska. What did Caesar do when that was very hot and the scorching heat was there in the countryside? Well, like any of us, he began to sweat. In spite of the contrast, and the fanning of slaves, he would sweat just like any of us. Ah, but then we come to us. We exert ourselves too, don't we? We get up off the couch and we walk over to the thermostat and we turn the temperature down. We adjust air conditioning. That's a point for us. How would you like some ice cream? If Caesar wanted a scoop of chocolate ice cream in the summer, where would he have to go? He had to send runners up to the mountains to get some ice, some snow, and bring it down. If he wanted a fruit in the wintertime, he had to hope somebody had some apples in the root cellar, which hadn't gone rotten. But what do? Worst case scenario, we hop in our car, we drive to the store, we pick up from a vast selection of options and choices. And when it comes to selection of food, we are, of course, far richer than the ancient emperor of Rome. And then there's the medical side. What do you suppose Caesar did if he had a problem with his appendix? What did he do? Surgery is risky, infection is highly likely, and pain is certain. If he has a heart blockage, there are no shunts to help him. If he has cancer, there's no radiation or chemotherapy. Are we beginning to see the picture? We have freezers. We have microwaves. We have electric lights. We have phones. We have a lot of modern technology to make our lives more than just manageable. All of which means this. In most respects, we are far richer than Caesar ever was. In fact, we are richer than most people in the world who have ever been. So, does that mean that Jesus is talking to us when he teaches to give away all that we've got and come and follow him? Probably not. Because when you think about it, Jesus didn't ask everyone to give up everything. He didn't ask if Mary Magdalene or Mary and Martha and Lazarus to give away everything that they had. He didn't tell his brothers and sisters in Nazareth to empty out their bank accounts. To order to give away everything is something Jesus said specifically to this young man and not really to anyone else. But why is that? Because our Lord knows that money is a stumbling block in the path of man's loyalty and relationship with his Lord. Money was his problem, and perhaps it might even be ours in this day and age. You go back into the Old Testament, Abraham was a rich man, but God didn't tell him to separate himself from his stuff. In fact, God told him to pick up everything and to do what? Move with it to a new land. That's because money wasn't Abraham's problem. He had a different difficulty. Abraham loved his son, and at times it seemed as if he loved that son more than he loved God. And so what happened? God commanded him to sacrifice his son on an altar. But we know that that sacrifice did not take place. But Abraham, he got the message. The Savior should always be the most important person in our lives. Does that sound a little bit unreasonable to any of us gathered here this morning? It is possible that you are ready to join me in saying, Lord, you can't be serious. You really don't expect to be ahead of my family, my life, my goals, my dreams, my everything. Do you, Lord? Now, if we really are asking that question seriously, the Lord is going to give us a very serious and straight answer. And here's what I think he would say. Yes, that's exactly what I expect. When my son came to earth to save you, I expected him to dedicate himself completely and totally to that task. I expected him to fulfill the salvation promise that I had made to Adam and Eve. I expected him to give his life to save your souls. And today I am proud to say that my beloved son did exactly as I asked. Every second of every minute of every day of every year, he did what was necessary to save you. He was tempted, but he resisted those temptations. He was hated, but he endured that hatred. He was rejected, but he endured that contempt. And he was unfairly arrested, and he was beaten, and he was whipped, and he was railroaded to the cross, where his perfect life was offered as the payment to save you and everyone else. My son gave everything to you. And then God continues. If you have faith in Christ alone, is that which forgives your sins and saves your soul. That ought to mean something to us. It ought to be important. It ought to generate a response. It ought to change the way that each of us lives. Understand, God says, I don't demand you change. I wouldn't do that to you. But I can't help but believe that those who have seen Jesus live, die, and rise for them, we will respond to that. I have to think that those folks who have seriously considered the fires of hell, that they are not going there, and they will give thanks to their rescuer. I have to believe everything else in your life will become secondary to your praise of my son. And so there we have it. Jesus should be first in our lives. He should be. But the question still is he? And while you ponder that question, I want to share with you a story about a lady by the name of Frances Ridley Havergal. Is there anyone here this morning who knows anything about her? My friends, every hand in this sanctuary should be raised. The reason for this is this. In, say, 1874, she wrote a hymn. She was a linguist, a scholar, a pianist, a concert soloist. She had done many things with her life, but she concentrated on giving glory to her Lord by writing hymns. Now the question is, do you know who this lady is? She wrote the hymn that we just sang before the sermon today, Take My Life and Let It Be. Take my life and let it be, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Those were more than just words to our dear Lady Frances. I told you she was a concert soloist, and in the years which came after writing that hymn, her performances changed. She no longer sang secular songs. She gave her voice to the Lord and sang songs which praised her Savior and the sacrifice that he had made for her salvation. She sang about his unfair death, about his glorious resurrection. She sang in ceaseless praise, and hearts were moved. But there's also a third verse that we need to hear. It's the one which speaks of wealth and rich people and the kingdom of heaven. And I know you're all familiar with it. Take my life and take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my silver and my gold. I imagine just about every person who has sung that song has asked, Francis, are you serious? But she wasn't joking. Actually, 4 years after she had written this hymn, she realized that she had also failed in giving her silver and her gold to God. She had a very impressive collection of jewelry, things that she had inherited and which had been given to her. And she realized then that she had withheld that from the Lord. And when she realized it, she packed up all those things, a lot of her gold and jewels, and she sent them to her church missionary society. And then, just to be sure that she had done the right job, she included a check to cover the value of the few sentimental items that she had kept. What an example for each and every one of us. A few moments ago, I asked you to ponder the question, is Jesus first in your life? Well, over the centuries, we have had martyrs, and we've had the death of those martyrs that had said Jesus was first for them. But is he first for us? If I went to your spouse or to your children or to your friends or your co-workers and I asked, is Jesus first in the life of this man or this woman or this child? What would they say? It is my deepest thought and prayer this morning that I would receive, and on behalf of myself too, a resounding and an affirmative yes. That they could tell me that you are a person who lives a life each day that says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Now, if that is true for us, may God bless us and be with us. But if it is not true, may the Lord touch each one of our hearts with the record of his own Son who died for sinners, sinners like you and me. May his Holy Spirit dwell in each one of us and change our hearts this day so that Christ is the center of our journey through life. And it is in his precious name that we ask it. Amen. And now may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. In his name, amen. Well, at this time, I would invite the members of the congregation to stand as we make confession of our Christian faith today in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated now. We'll continue with our morning offering.
And if you're able, I invite the congregation to stand. And let us pray. And today I'd like to point out our mission prayer for the Voice of the Martyrs. And the prayer section in your bulletin is on page 5. But in the body of that prayer, second line from the bottom, there's an app that you can order online. And it's put out by Voice of the Martyrs. And each day has a specific nation and people there to pray for, and gives quite a description of how Christians are accepted there or if they're not accepted at all. But I would encourage all of us to get into a mode of daily going to that site and holding up together with many others prayers for those who are severely persecuted here and in other parts of the world as well. Well, let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of faith, and that through faith we can see our own sinful condition. We can see the temptations that bombard us each and every day, that we can recognize the dangers of the prosperity in which we live. Lord, enable us to recognize that all things are a gift from you, and that we then would view them accordingly, recognizing they're not our own possession, they're a gift given, and Lord, you ask us to be good stewards, to manage what you provide, to use it for your glory. Lord, we thank you for your word, that you intervene in our lives continually. And Lord, through your word today, we pray that our lives would be redirected and that we would always put you first in our lives. Lord, protect us and your church worldwide in light of this. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, there are just all kinds of names that are listed in the bulletin today, and we just hold each one of these individuals up to you, Lord, and we know in our personal lives there are many more names that we can add to this list. Lord, today we're especially thankful that Helen Anderson is able to be back with us here today in worship. We praise you for protecting her and renewing her strength. Lord, we pray for Lanny Schlange, who is now transitioning to hospice care. Be with Lanny and with his wife Annie as they go on this journey together. Uphold them and encourage and protect them, Lord. Oh, Lord, we also hold up to you today Peggy Peters, Aunt Maureen Knuppel, who is in the hospital and is actually having gallbladder surgery today. Lord, we pray your guidance with the surgeons, your wisdom granted to them, that they can serve as your instruments of comfort and care and healing in Maureen's life. Lord, we hold all of these up before you and ask your blessings of peace, most of all, to be among them as well as us. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we remember those who grieve the loss of loved ones, and today especially for Pastor Buddy and Bobby Blake at the loss of Buddy's sister, Pat Black, who resided in Texas. And Lord, for the family of Imogene Ansorgi, as Imogene passed away this past week as well. Lord, be with these families in their time of grief and uphold them and encourage them with the reality of the victory, Jesus, that you have won, that you truly are, as you declared, the resurrection and the life, and that whoever believes in you will live even though he dies, and whoever believes in you will never die. Lord, may this hope, this truth, fill these grieving families with your comfort and peace this day. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for our quilters ministry that goes on here or meets here at Trinity, and the wonderful work that they do, and for the just wonderful event that took place yesterday and the success of it, and the support of ministry that comes out of that with the funds that are donated to Trinity. We just thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you bestow upon this group and the marvelous work that you bless them to do with their hands. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the ministry here at Trinity, and it's your ministry, Lord. You entrust it to us, and we thank you for the honor to serve. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon this season of the year as we draw attention to the need for scholarship funds and those funds transitioning into supporting families that want to have their children here that would not be able to without the scholarships. And so, Lord, we pray that many monies will come in to support this great work and ministry within our family of Trinity. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, as the election process begins here again in our nation, we pray that your wisdom and counsel would be upon us as your people, upon your church, as we have the great freedom in this land to have a voice and to have a vote. Lord, guide us that your will would be done in the way that we do vote, recognizing, Lord, that you are in control of all things, that you reign over this land. And Lord, in the election outcome, we pray that your will would be accomplished in it. But Lord, we take great comfort in recognizing that the issues of this land and the world are far beyond the capabilities of any human being resolving. And we turn to you, Lord, always, acknowledging you as the one who truly reigns and continually seeking your counsel and wisdom. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we just thank you most of all for being children whom you have called by name into your family, into your kingdom, and honored and blessed to know and privileged then to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go now in his peace. Amen. May be seated, and at this time I'd invite Mr. Kyle Erickson, our principal at Trinity Lutheran School, to come forward and to introduce our guest today. Before you do that, Kyle, Pastor Hesse and Ruth Ann wanted to announce that they have some children's books that are available to you here this morning, and they're out in the entryway, so if you want to look those over, they're available to you. Kyle.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So today, continuing on with the scholarship campaign, the drive there, and just what those dollars are doing. When I think of our whole ministry here as Trinity Lutheran Church and School, we've had the privilege of going to Breckenridge as a staff the past few days and really spending time of just thinking about our identity as Trinity Lutheran Church and School. What is our identity? Mary Schultz reminded us regularly, as we all know, it starts with Jesus. And then from there, the branching out, that identity and the what keeps circling in my mind is this family-oriented piece that we have. Very much a family here. And so through the church and school, getting to know each other with the personal relationships, and so with the school be the extended family here, these families that I'm bringing to you, they're not just bodies that make up our school, but they're part of our family. I mean, this is who our kids... this is a piece of who they hang out with, along with others. But it's just a very special piece for me personally. And I just want you all to hear and see some of what's happening with this school ministry. So today I have Rochelle Britton. I'll hand the mic over to her.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for letting me come and talk to you about the school and what it means to us. I'm Rochelle Britton, and my two girls, Peyton and Brooklyn, they're up here. Peyton has been part of Trinity since preschool. She did 2 years of preschool, first grade, and now second grade. And Brooklyn is on her second year of preschool. We found out about Trinity through a wonderful woman named Jolene that came into our lives, was watching our kids when both of us were working full-time. And I was able to start staying home when we had Brooklyn. But we were in a transition stage where my daughter just needed some more... I don't know what the word is, but a jump start. She needed help with her speech a little more help with her numbers and letters. And she said, you know, it wouldn't hurt to start her early. And she had a flyer for Trinity. We had discussed homeschooling, but we decided Trinity was better because I learned real fast that I did not have the temperament for homeschooling. Trinity had smaller class sizes and had a lot of one-on-one attention for my kids with the daily teachings of Christ, which we really appreciated and which is a priority for us. And Trinity met all of those needs. So when kindergarten came, we decided to stay and have Peyton go into Ms. Windsheimer's class. At that time, we found out that my husband would be deploying to Afghanistan. And I always cry at this part, but Christ really showed our family his love through this school. When he was gone, they really became a tribe for my children that helped me as I became a single mom for a year. They had insight to my kids that I did not have, and without them, they would not have had the support that they had to get through that year. And then when my husband came home, they threw a party, and it was wonderful, and they were just as happy for my kids. And I think they really showed my kids a godly love through all of that. You don't get that at just any school. And it's a priceless gift. And they treat every child and family like that, not just mine. And I think that's really a testament to what all you are doing. And you all have contributed to teaching our family what it's like to have Christ's love upon us all the time. So thank you.
Hmm.
Thank you again for your support and the school ministries and the just how God works through all of that. So thank you very much.
Thank you guys for being here today, and God bless all of you this day and throughout this week. Go in peace.